this morning, turn back or turn to, and we've been here before, Exodus 24. I know that somewhere in the last 4 or 5 years that I have spoken to you on a verse or two that I will mention again this morning. And I don't know if there will be any repetition in today and ever how long in the past it has been. But if there is, I trust the Lord will make it beneficial to you. This time, even more so. I fear getting to the point where my mind does not work as it should. I hope I'm not there yet. Don't think I am. And I hope the Lord will give me sense enough to know it's time to step aside or sit down and turn it over to you. A well-known, and I won't call his name, he is now in glory, a well-known Bible expositor, brilliant mind, well-versed in the Hebrew and in the Greek, just learned, a learned man. For the last 3 or 4 months that he was with his people there, he preached the same message, and they didn't have the heart to say anything to him. He had been with them so long that they just gathered every Sunday and listened to the same one for 3 or 4 months until the Lord removed him. I hope that you won't let that happen here, and that you'll be brave enough and bold enough to say it is time for you to sit down. Now, with that said, I repeat again, I do not know if there will be any repetition of that which was said whenever, but I hope the Lord will make it fresh to you this morning. And I hope He'll give you a heart which is badly missing in our day, heart to hear. And I could only wish that He would do to you, to us, as He did to those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, open their understanding until they knew that was Christ walking with us. It's not safe, children, to walk by yourself. So would you seek Him as we join together in prayer? Our Father, we bow with thankfulness, with humility, knowing that if we are in the way, if we have a heart desirous of knowing and following Thee, it was Thee, O Lord, that did that for us. And now we come to open Thy Word, knowing that it is a closed book, and no matter how intelligent these might be, we can't understand it, and we can't receive it by natural ability. Would you give us that which is necessary, and give us Thy Spirit to rightly set before these truths to this people, and that they might rightly understand and receive, and it be so impressed upon their hearts, not their minds, but their hearts, that they walk out with a new desire to follow Thee. Give help to the remainder of the service to the glory of Christ. In Thy great name, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you only as we get to them several verses in Exodus 24. And in verse number 1 and verse number 12, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount. That's, I'm reading from verse number 12, and that would be our thought for the morning. Come up to me into the mount. Now, folk, if you have no heart to move or advance from where you are now with a grieving heart, I tell you, there's nothing here in these passages, in this chapter, in this message for you. If you are satisfied, if you are content, if in your own mind you have attained, weeping within, I say, I don't have anything for you. Now verse number 1, and he, the Lord, said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship afar off. And they journey, obedient to the command of the Lord. Verse number 9 and following, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. One thing that all of us know, 1 Timothy 6:16, who only, Paul speaking of God, hath immortality, and dwelleth in a light that no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. So when it said that they saw God, you got to say that they saw more of God than ever they had before, but they didn't see the person of God. And there was under his feet, they didn't even see the feet of God. They just saw where his feet were. And under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. They saw God and did eat and drink. So they became comfortable enough in an awareness of the presence of God that they could continue on with their service there. Speaking about under the feet of God, the highest concept that you can ever have of God, the highest, is far, far below God, beneath his great dignity, his honor, and his glory. God would just have them know, you can't see me, but I'll allow you to see enough of that I walk upon, that it should humble you. Give reverence, provide work reverence within, and that you go down off this mount different than you came up. Now, two of those that Moses took with him by the command of God offered later unto God strange fire. So whatever they saw, whatever work that there was within, it was not a lasting or sufficient work to keep them from offering to God strange fire. Now to our text, verse number 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. You have not yet arrived at the place where God would have you. Just like the greatest apostle God ever had, Saul of Tarsus, later called Paul the Apostle. Philippians chapter 3, don't turn, but he said, I press. The word press means to follow after. And if I follow after something, that means that there is that ahead of me drawing me. Are you stationary in your pursuit of God? Have you reached that point wherein you are completely satisfied that you have enough of God as to supply all your need here and take you to glory hereafter? Then you are different than any child of God we've ever read about or ever talked with. I follow after. Something is out there in front of me. Of course, that's Christ our Lord. He put forth his sheep and goeth before them. But the word press also means to flee. Not only am I pursuing after that which is in front of me, drawing me, but I am fleeing because behind me is a snare. Great danger, even death. I'm going towards, I'm running from. That's the life of a Christian. I press toward the mark of God. That means God established. You don't. You don't know where you're supposed to get here in life. I press towards the mark, that which God said, get here. You always be pursuing it. I don't set it. The church didn't set it. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God, towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Every child of God is a Christian. He or she is a pilgrim, a sojourner, just like Bunyan's pilgrim. And you will find that here on earth there is not a resting place for any length of time. God said you dwelt long enough in this mountain. You've been long enough here under the 70 palm trees and beside the clear pool of water that quenched your thirsty tongues and throat. You've been here long enough. God will never have you trade in your movable tent to build a foundation here in life. There will be no rest for you for any length of time till you cross that last river of chilly waters of death. Then you can put off your armor. Then your warfare will be over. Then your journey will be completed, but not until then. And there's a great possibility that even heading down into the valley of the shadow of death, that you'll have warfare with the devil, your sin nature, even there. I don't know, but I know the warfare won't be over. You're completely through the process of physical death. The reason Paul pressed towards the mark, the prize, the high calling of God, he said, I have not yet attained, either am I yet perfect, but I follow after, that I might apprehend that for which I am apprehended. There's something called my soul of the beauty of the person of God as revealed in His Son. And I'm pressing after that which has gotten hold of my heart. Children, one of the teachings that has permeated, just like leaven, you ladies, in some of the breads you want to cook, you probably put leaven and you let it sit, and that leaven works, permeates the whole. whether it be a loaf or whatever of bread. And there is that leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciples thought, oh goodness, we forgot to take bread. Christ later explained, I'm not talking about physical bread and you forgetting to get bread. I'm talking about the doctrines, the doctrine of the Pharisees and scribes. Beware of that. That leaven has so permeated the church of God in our day, it's brought about a deadly sleep that most are in. And here's what they taught us. One encounter with the Lord settles everything for eternity. That was just the beginning point. If you've got enough of Christ when you call at what you call your salvation, you never were saved. Neither did you get any. For if you ever get a taste, it'll be an eternal hungering in your soul. Then shall we know, Hosea 6:3, if we follow on. You satisfied with your attainments? You either or dead spiritually. Or asleep. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Now from Philippians 3 to these last letters there to Timothy when he was in prison, within that 2-year span, Paul had reached a point within his own soul that he said, I am now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to be poured out like a drink offering, my blood to be shed for the one that I love. I'm now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. 2 years earlier, he said, I press on. I have not yet attained. I have not yet got to that point in finding out about the one that arrested me on the Damascus Road and has held me in his reign since. Now that's over with. And his work here is finished. There's that about the life of God in the soul of a human being that keeps the children pressing on to know who put that there. What is that life in my soul? What is there about that life that keeps drawing me towards the author of life? And you'll never get there. But there'll always be a pursuit until hopefully we all can lay down on that deathbed of eternal rest saying, I am now ready. My race is finished. It's over. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Again, I will remind you, with an aching heart within, if this fits you, if you are content with the advancements that you have made thus far in your Christian walk, then I've said nothing so far, and I probably won't say anything throughout the day that has caught your attention. I will keep it. Now to our text, Moses, come up to me. All must be called if effectually from the realm here, your feet planted on earth's soil. A lot of concrete and asphalt, pavement. You go sometimes to these cities that have so much of that and hot all the time. Whether it be a ball of clay that you walk on or concrete or whatever, God's got to effectually call you from the realm wherein you live to the realm above earth so that you can see and hear the Lord. Earthly minded people can't hear God. I saw a door open, Revelation 4:1 in heaven, and the first voice I heard talking was as the sound of a trumpet saying, "Come up hither." God's got to get you away from where you are. God's got to get you up. And I, in no way, am implying this, but you could go sit under the most eloquent and learned and able preacher that's ever been, but he can't speak to your heart. He can't stir within you that desire to get above where you are and to hear God. He can't reveal to you an open door in heaven and a voice effectually working in your soul saying, "Come up hither," but you gotta get there. For thus saith the high and lofty one, Isaiah 57, who inhabits eternity. Go back as far in mind as you can before there was a star, before there was earth, before there was ever an angel, there was God. Then after God created and run out in mind as far as you can go till there's nothing left down here, there's God. And the God at the end is the same as the God at the beginning. He's changed not. Years have not affected him. But before there was ever anything, before there was ever the first tick on the clock that God set in motion, Genesis 1:1. Eternity past, there was God. Eternity future, all that's in God. That's how vast the God is that you say you love and say you serve. Thus saith the high and lofty one that contains eternity within himself. Now thus I dwell in the high and holy place. You think God's going to make his habitation down here with a bunch of people living for self and for the world and for time? No. No. God's going to call you up, call you away. Come up to me into the mount. Now listen. Let me dwell a moment with these two words. Be there. When you get where I want you to be, I want you to be there. I want you to sit down. I don't want you to be in anticipation of the event that might happen the next morning or the event that took place yesterday. I just want you to be there. Most don't have time to be there. And sit quietly. If you're honest, God doesn't get 10 minutes a day of your time when there's absolute stillness and quietness in your heart and in your mind. Now, if you start making excuses why you don't have time, and you walk out of here, as I've heard some do, well, the preacher expects us to be there and he doesn't know I've got all this and all that to do. That, I don't know of any of you that said that. But if you start making excuses as to why you don't have time and accuse the preacher of meddling and that he doesn't know how it is with you, such as work, family to look after, the requirements life places upon you, then you are accusing me of that which I do know. For 20 years, thereabouts, every Wednesday night, driving 2 hours, I went to preach. Usually in that span, 2 times on Sunday. And the youth for a good while on Thursday night. That was 3 to 4 times a week. 4 times a week until we separated. I do know working at least 40 hours a week with the family to take care of. I do know how it is. If you say that, I don't have time, and you start making excuses, you're saying, God, you made a mistake in having me to work to provide bread for my family. God, you made a mistake in giving me a spouse and children that consume so much of my time. You're going to accuse God of that? Now I will meddle a little bit. Get off social media so that it does not consume you. No, Freddie, I'm not preaching directly to you. The girls fixed him a... what?
Facebook.
But they did it to help him with locating things in business. That better be the extent of his locating thing. Facebook, Twitter, news. You don't know any more when you get through listening to news than you did when you sat down to listen to it. They're just spouting off. Used to be, if I can get it correctly, it used to be 50 years ago that men and women got into that because they wanted to report events. Now they get into it because they want to change your opinions. The world's not right where you live. Now if you listen to me, I can help you and we can all get it right. Well, I did get to meddling, didn't I? But all these things are keeping you from having time. And telling God he made a mistake. You better hope God doesn't take all the mistakes away from you that he made in giving you children and a spouse and a job. But you are saying something far greater than that. If you are making excuses, you are also saying that there is nothing within you urging you on to seek more of what you've got. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes a longing desire. Such a longing in your soul that a man traveling through the desert on foot that hasn't had water for 2 days is searching for that first drink. That's what it is to progress on, sit with patience. Just Moses, sit down and be there. If you don't have time, there's not that within your soul longing to see the glory of God. Have you taken a few minutes off in mind to travel down the cobblestone or the dirt streets there in Jerusalem and neighboring places to walk with Christ? Have you in mind walk with him up the mount? Down by the seashore. Rode with him in a ship across that sea. Have you? You ever? Just you and the Lord. Been in the garden. Or the judgment hall. Could it be said of you that you were like Peter outside, warming by the enemy's fires? Or like the beloved apostle there. What about it, children? What about it? Moses, come up to me into the mountain, be there. And I'm going to give you the law and commandments. What I give you, you take back to others. So you dads, do you gather from the Lord to take back to your children? That doesn't leave you moms out. You're responsible too. Obtain from the Lord. Get something from him for yourself first. Then so you can carry to those around you. 57 years ago, and I can't remember the preacher, but a woman came and said to him, "The Lord has called me into the ministry." And the preacher, with wisdom, said, "You married?" She said, "Yes." "You have any children?" She said, "Yes." He said, "That's great. God's already given you a congregation to minister to. Those 7 children. Take care of them." Now in verse number 16, Moses up there, he's been there. Verse number 16, "And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days." 6 days. Moses is sitting there. Now if you want to know what he's looking at, Verse number 17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire. 6 days he sat there, staring at as much of the glory of God as he would reveal, and that was like a devouring, burning fire. Just sit there. Be there. He was there 6 days looking. And a devouring fire burns up everything that is combustible. So you start getting near God, God starts burning things up in your life. But it takes time, 6 days, staring at the glory of God like a devouring fire. It takes that to prepare you to step inside that darkness wherein God dwells. I dwell in thick darkness. Takes time. Abraham, take your son, thine only son whom thou lovest, Isaac, and go offer him up. And the scripture says, in the third day, Abram looked, and far off he saw a mountain. Now God could have had him done it in his backyard, just out of sight of Sarah. God could have had him done it that night. But God won't have you rashly do anything. You think about it. And so for 3 days, Abraham journeyed knowing that he's got to offer that son up as a burnt offering. You know fully well what he's going to do. And he'll know fully well that within his heart, and he will have overcome everything. Abraham was raised in the heathen land where they offered up children as sacrifices. He's got to listen to the insinuations and the accusations of the devil and of his own mind. You're reverting back to just like that place where you came from. And he's got to discern and know for certain in his mind, God told me to do that. Don't jump at every little whim that you have thinking God told me. God will always give you time to make certain it was the Lord that told you so. On the third day he looked and he's had plenty of time to get everything worked out. Now you sit down and look on that mountain. Maybe even God, hear God call you up to that mountain. There, see the glory of God as a devouring fire. We all, 2 Corinthians 3:18, with an unveiled, with an open face, see as in a glass the glory of God. The glory of the Lord. What takes place? And we are changed. So as he looks, as he sees the glory of God, as God burns up all within that is unlike God, he becomes more like God, acquainted with and able to draw nigh to God. Folk, when we say our morning or evening prayers, it's a hasty, how do you do, Lord? I need you to help me here, help me there, help my family. Amen. Got to go. and would never enter into the cloud. I think it was G. Campbell Morgan, pastor over there in England, went to Wales when revival was taking place. I think he stayed there 2 or 3 months and he came back. I don't know if the sermon he preached is still in print when he got back to his congregation, but he told them, "You're not singing." He had listened to folks who from the depths of their soul were making a joyous noise unto the Lord. And he told them, "You're not praying. I've heard folk pray, and I've heard folk sing when God was in their midst." Just see if you can hear that call of God come up. And Moses went up with the 70 elders, and Nadab and Abihu, and Joshua his minister. And then God said, "Now you leave them here, and you come on." If you read later on in the chapter, last 2 or 3 verses, Moses left Joshua, his minister. So the number is reduced from 70-something to it's just you and your minister. But you know what, folks? Then that number is reduced to just you. And it's you all alone. I am here only as a heifer of your joy and of faith. But that's all, only a heifer. Somewhere, it's got to be you and the Lord. And somewhere, if you don't get to the point of seeing the glory of God, you will not be changed to the point of entering glory. May the Lord call you. May the Lord enable you to put down everything and just sit quietly and just be there.